Hey guys, welcome. It is Sunday, January 28, 2024. Welcome to another People's Rights meeting. We're in the park in Pasadena, Victory Park. Now, it's going to be a quick introduction, and I'm really excited to have an awesome speaker who's going to call us remotely from, obviously from not here. So from Mexico, yeah. So I'll get to him in a second, but before we get into that, guys, it's very important people get the idea of what people's rights is all about. It's very important. I went to a conference a few weeks ago. Look, long story short, if I can make it as short and truncated as I can, the purpose of people's rights is if you're going through life, whatever you're doing, walking, going to the doctor, I don't know, maybe you're going to the hospital, I don't know, whatever, going to a store, if your rights are ever violated, you've got a network of people who can come to your aid. Okay, and that could mean anything. That could mean, okay, you can't get a job because you haven't got an injection in your arm. It could mean maybe your baby's been kidnapped by CPS because you didn't go to a routine checkup. Now, it's got to be stipulated that the whole idea of people's rights is we're lawful. We are protecting your rights under the laws, okay? People's rights is being, they're trying to paint a picture that people's rights is a really dark kind of organization and we're just some vigilante group. Obviously, it couldn't be further from the truth. We're actually peaceful, and no matter what, we're inside the bounds of the law. We're lawful, and that's what we're opposing is anyone who's unlawful to you, we're opposing that. Now, there's an important idea of 10 and 10. Now, what does that mean? We're a network of people, and if your rights are violated in some way, and we can assist, then you can deploy. You call us up, email us, and we get 10 people there within 10 minutes. It's very important because it's about optics. It's about, hey, you know, we're here to help, and we're here to push back. And then outside of that, obviously, you're going to get more people. So as a show of hands here, because we want to be an active group, not just rest in our hands and be keyboard warriors, although that does help. As a raise of hands, if my rights were violated tomorrow and you got a call or a text saying, hey, show up for this dude, that's me. I mean, how many of you would actually show up if you were free? I hope all your hands are going up, because I'd certainly turn up for you guys if something went down. It's been a lot of cases over the last 3 years, 4 years of the scamdemic where they've tried to flush our rights down the toilet and call that legal. No, our rights, the law, the legal system is set there for a reason, to protect our God-given rights and to protect our freedoms and our liberties that we love. So once again, we're a peaceful group. We all know this, right? But this is more for the purpose of the video. If anyone's watching this, it doesn't really know about us. We're set up to push back where there's unlawful activity, be it a government agency, be it an employer, could mean anyone. Okay, so I'll leave it at that. Nice short introduction, but I'm very excited to introduce our next guest on People's Rights. His name is Etienne de la Boite. I possibly butchered his name, I don't know. Maybe I nailed it, who knows? But he's the author of this book, Government, the biggest scam in human history, and we're going to get a little zoom of that, aren't we, Trav? Can you get in there? I can get in. Looks like a great read. I, full disclosure, I have not read it. I think Ed, you have, haven't you? He's nodding. You got that, Trav? Okay, so from a select different booksellers, it's not available where you normally might find a book. But anyways, he's going to call us pretty soon, remotely from Mexico. So we are lucky to have him. Once again, his name's Etienne de la Boite. And I'm excited to be here and listen to what he has to say. Have we got any updates? Has he texted?
Can I tell him to call now?
If you can text him or call him, yeah. Yeah, because we're ready.
Okay.
We're ready. Nothing like a short intro.
If he can hear you.
Etienne, can you hear me okay? My name's Ashley. I'm with People's Rights.
Hello?
Hey, Ashley. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Hey, brilliant. So, sorry if I'm getting... How do I pronounce your name? Etienne?
Etienne de la Boétie squared.
Etienne de la Boétie squared. I like that. I was a mathematician back in the day. Hi, Etienne. My name's Ashley. I'm part of People's Rights. I'm just being the little host, but, you know, I've said my piece. You know, who cares about me at this point? We want to hear about you. So please give us a quick introduction, and I'll get you to hold the floor.
Okay, I'm a volunteerist author. My book is Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed.
Love it.
The subtitle is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government, the Media, and Academia.
That's brilliant. You know, I like it already. I haven't read it, full disclosure, but yeah, man, we're really excited to hear what you have to say. And at the end, if that's cool, we'll just have you around for a bit of a Q&A. Would you be available for that?
Sure.
Brilliant. Okay, man, enough about me.
So, am I ready to begin?
Yeah, let's roll, man. We're all ears, brother. Thank you.
So, hey, it's nice to be with your group today, telephonically. As I mentioned, my name is Etienne de la Boétie Square, and that is a pen name. The original Etienne de la Boétie was a French political philosopher. He wrote in the 16th century, and he was really one of the first ones to expose the tricks and the techniques that rulers used, not just to get obedience, but to get fealty and admiration and God save the queen and all hail the chief. And he revealed that there were a number of techniques that rulers were using to achieve these aims. And so I took his pen name because I'm exposing the same tricks in the modern age with my book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government, the Media, and Academia. And really, the thesis of my book is that government was never intended to protect life, liberty, and property. It is best thought of as a technique for robbing and controlling societies, and you can never have a legitimate government. And the reason that you can never have a legitimate government is because it's impossible to delegate rights that you do not possess yourself to a representative, or to a government to exercise a right that you don't have yourself. So if I don't have the ability to take your money and redistribute it or make up rules for you myself, I can't delegate a right that I don't have to the government. No one can be bound by a social contract that they did not sign. And if my girlfriend and myself can't vote to rob you because there's two of us and one of you, well, it really doesn't matter if there's three of us or 10 of us or 330 million of us. There's no magical additional person that makes something that is inherently immoral and illogical now moral and logical just because the mob wants to lynch black folks or rob Peter to pay Paul. Just because the mob wants to do something doesn't make it legitimate, necessary, or desirable. And so so the predicament that we're in is because this intergenerational organized crime system has really been controlling the information that society receives on the legitimacy of government, on the necessity of having a government, and on the desirability of having a government. Now, I mentioned I'm a voluntarist author, and a voluntarist is someone that believes that all relationships between people must be voluntary. So nobody gets the ring of power because there isn't a ring of power. No one has rights that other people don't have, and nobody has an exemption from morality, especially the government. Now, in some ways, it's a rebranding of peaceful anarchy. Anarchy just means no rulers. It doesn't mean no rules. It literally means no rulers. But because the rulers don't want the population to know there's an option on the menu called no rulers, they've used control of this monopoly media system and the schools, you know, to change the word no rulers over time to mean chaos and dystopia. Now, somewhat inherent in voluntarism and peaceful anarchy is the understanding that the world is a self-organizing system. It produces spontaneous order, and everything that the government does, except for redistribution — you cannot have redistribution, but if you really think about what the government does, the majority of what the government does is provide services, whether that service is armed protective services that they call the police, whether it's dispute resolution that they call the courts, whether it's delivering the mail, whether it's directing airplane traffic, whether it's running the worst passenger train service on the planet. All of these things could be done better, faster, and cheaper by the free market, by mutual aid societies, by insurance companies, by nonprofit organizations, by genuine charities. And if the government wasn't stealing the value out of our money, or actually if the banks who lobbied and bribed the government to pass the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, giving themselves a monopoly on the creation of currency and credit in the United States, if these banks weren't stealing the value out of everyone's money using fractional reserve banking — and so kind of the basics of the fractional reserve banking scam are, when you go to a bank and get a mortgage or a car loan or any kind of loan, they're not loaning you deposit or money. The banks just tickle the ivories on their keyboard and credit your account with digital dollars. And even though that's inflationary and stealing the value out of everyone else's money. And so the example that I like to give with fractional reserve banking is, imagine if I have a dollar, and you have a dollar, dear listener, and you and I have the only $2 in the world. I have 50% of the world's wealth, and you have 50% of the world's wealth, and a bank or a government comes along and creates two more additional dollars using fractional reserve banking or quantitative easing or stimulus or bailouts or whatever the excuse is. Well, now all of a sudden the bank or the government has stolen 50% of the world's wealth, and you and I have been reduced to 25% of the world's wealth. And so if this dynamic wasn't going on, this dynamic enabled by government, you couldn't have fractional reserve banking at scale without government, then everyone would be dramatically, dramatically wealthier, because your dollars would be buying more and more every single year as productivity improvements and innovations reduce the cost of either producing or distributing the luxuries and the necessities of life. And so while it might be hard to kind of imagine how we could have a society without government, government has been waging a kind of economic warfare. When I say government, I mean the organized crime interests behind the government, centered around banking and central banking, that have been manipulating the government to kind of tax farm the population, using extortion, using confiscatory taxation, estate taxes, and a variety of hidden taxes. Every time you pay your cell phone bill, every time you get an airline ticket, if you're a smoker, every time you buy a pack of cigarettes, if you're a drinker, every time you get a beer, every time you get a gallon of gas. I once flew to London a couple of years ago. The ticket was $1,200. The actual ticket was $400, but there were $800 worth of taxes and airport fees and other things. And so a lot of these taxes are invisible to the average person, but if you really add up the kind of overt taxes, which is your 1040, if you add up the hidden taxes that I just described and all the others that I didn't mention, If you add up the theft of inflation through fractional reserve banking, government is tax farming the population for somewhere around 50% of your income when you add it all up together. And that money is being funneled out the back door for military equipment that we don't need to fight engineered wars based on lies and manufactured intelligence. It's going out the back door to banks in the form of bailouts and stimulus. It's going out the back door to pharmaceutical companies for mandatory vaccinations. It's going out the back door to big ag in the form of subsidies. It's going out the back door. It's costing you money. You know, it's picking your pocket in a variety of other ways. You know, monopoly privileges to certain companies in the economy, no bid contracts. You know, the Department of Defense is missing somewhere north of $10 trillion, and they've been caught doing a variety of scams. One of my favorite is known as the Bishop's Fund, and you can go, you know, look that up on the internet. But the Bishop's Fund is the Department of Defense was buying gasoline wholesale and then selling it to each of the branches of the military, selling it to the Army and the Navy and the Air Force, marking it up and putting money into a slush fund. And so we're being robbed wholesale, but they're getting away with it through a monopolization of the media and controlling the information that you receive so that people don't understand what's really, really going on. Now, this control of perception program starts with the mandatory government school, where children are taught that government is necessary, desirable, and legitimate before they're old enough to really understand the morality of that claim, the logic of that claim. Okay, and so they're going to teach you that government is legitimate, desirable, and necessary before you're really old enough to evaluate that. And then the other thing my book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History, exposes is that they're going to indoctrinate that into the population as a religion. Now, they're not going to call it a religion, but they're going to use all of the tricks and the techniques of an unethically manipulative religion or a cult in these mandatory government schools, in scouting programs like the Cub Scouts, the Weeblos, the Boy Scouts, the Explorer program, ROTC, Junior ROTC, police and military training, and that flag is the indoctrinated holy symbol. The holy documents are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The president is the Pope. You're going to go to the mandatory church school where the teacher, the priest, is going to have you pledge your allegiance in a kind of pseudo-religious ceremony to the flag, kindergarten through 12th grade. That religiosity of the flag is going to be reinforced in scouting and JROTC, ROTC, and others. You're going to be taken to Mecca, Washington, D.C., around middle school, where they're going to take you into the Cathedral of the Capitol, which looks like the Vatican for a reason. They're going to take you to the temples. They're going to show you the deities of Lincoln and Jefferson, and it's going to be very hushed and reverent. The judges are going to wear vestments. You as a taxpayer are expected to tithe a certain portion of your income. The military goes on crusades, you know, and so this religiosity is being enforced by this monopoly media system, and the monopoly media system is weaving the U.S. flag into moments of high positive emotion. It's product placing the U.S. flag into moments of high positive emotion. My favorite example that I like to use, I'll give you a couple of them, but one of them is, if anybody's seen the movie The Martian with Matt Damon, the whole movie builds up to, is Matt Damon going to make it off of Mars? And when he finally makes it off of Mars, boom, he's going to make it. And the camera cuts to Earth and everybody's waving American flags. And the camera then cuts to Mission Control, and there's giant American flags on the in the background. And so they brought you to a moment of high positive emotion, and then they showed you the flag. They've done it in the movie Superman, where Superman is going around the world holding the American flag. They've done it in Rocky, where Rocky drapes himself with the American flag after winning this moment of high positive emotion. And they've been doing it everyone's entire life. But because they come along one at a time, most people don't really realize it. We back up the book with a 64 gigabyte flash drive that we call the Liberator. And one of the videos that we have on the Liberator shows almost 500 product placements of the flag in just 12 Michael Bay movies. And so Michael Bay is the director behind the Transformers and Pearl Harbor and, a variety of other, kind of very, very popular, Hollywood movies. And he's snuck in the American flag almost 500 times. And we have this very short video that just kind of shows you, it just goes through the his movies, and it shows you a couple of seconds where that flag is on the, is on the screen, and there's a little counter, and it's going ding, 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 and there's a little arrow pointing to all the different flags. But if you think about it, almost 500, it's 469 product placements of the American flag in just 12 movies. That gives you just a little idea of the kind of what I like to call unethically manipulative cult indoctrination techniques that this organized crime system has been perpetrating using the television and the movies. Some other examples include the NBA has placed the American flag on its backboard so that you subconsciously associate the flag with the goal. The NFL has put the American flag on its helmets where its players are forbidden to remove them, and the police and the military have unethically, manipulatively woven the U.S. flag into burial ceremonies so that people subconsciously associate the memory of their deceased loved ones with the American flag. And so these are some of the techniques that this intergenerational organized crime system have been using. Now, I mentioned that my predecessor, the original Etienne de la Boissy, he was a little bit like Machiavelli. Machiavelli also was kind of exposing the tricks and the techniques that rulers use to get this fealty and this adoration and obedience from their subjects. But Machiavelli was a little like, hire me, and I'll show you how to run these slaves, whereas Boetti was exposing the techniques to say, hey, these guys are criminals and they're doing something that's unethically manipulative. And so a lot of the techniques that he wrote about are still being used today. And so these techniques, in many cases, are very ancient techniques that have been used to manage and tax farm populations for hundreds and some of them thousands of years. And so the thesis of the book is to try and expose this. Now, I mentioned that we're under a monopoly media system. And so one of the things that I do that's unique is in the book, I'm using a lot of visualizations, a lot of media ownership charts that really bring home this, the fact of this monopolized media system. And so one of the, the media ownership charts that I show is a chart that shows hundreds and hundreds of companies rolling up into just six monopoly media providers, kind of like on the old school media side. So newspapers, television, cable, print, book publishers, kind of what I call like the old media side. And so an example is News Corp, and News Corp is Fox News, but News Corp doesn't just own Fox News. News Corp owns 175 newspapers. News Corp owns magazine publishers. News Corp owns satellite networks. News Corp owns a variety of other news and media outlets, but they're all different subsidiaries. They all have different names, and you wouldn't really understand that there's just six companies that are running hundreds of subsidiaries unless you saw this media ownership chart. And if you try and explain this to your friends and family, they may or may not believe you, but if you show them a media ownership chart where they can actually see the names of the companies and the names of the newspapers and the names of the magazines and the names of the satellite networks all rolling up to this small handful of monopoly companies, then all of a sudden they come to that moment of insight, you know, much deeper. They've got a deeper understanding of the problem. They have a, you know, like, oh my God, I didn't, you know, I mean, I've seen it happen so many times. I did not, you know, people are like, I did not understand that this was going on. And so what I'm doing in the book is I'm using visualization to make something that was previously invisible now visible through visualization. So visualization can make something that was invisible to the population now visible through visualization. And that's what I'm doing. We have another visualization in the book that shows the reporters and the editors and the publishers of dozens and dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media outlets where the publishers, editors, and reporters are all members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, or the Trilateral Commission. And those three organizations, along with the World Economic Forum, you know, allow this criminal enterprise to get its reporters, editors, and publishers together and on a regular basis in secure facilities that have been swept for bugs, and to be able to give them their marching orders, whether the marching orders is we're going to trick the population into thinking there's a pandemic going on, whether that marching order is, hey, we're going to trick the population into thinking that 9/11 was perpetrated by Muslim terrorists with box cutters, whether that that media deception is we're going to tell the population that the U.S. destroyer was attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin, whether that media deception is we're going to tell the population that Kuwaiti babies were thrown out of incubators. That is how you can control all of these organizations. And so the thesis of my book is that it's the banks, essentially, it's the banks at the top. The banks are creating money out of thin air using fractional reserve banking. They have bought up the world with these little paper tickets that they create out of thin air, starting with the media, so the media isn't going to tell you what's really going on. The ownership of the companies that have been bought up and stolen through fractional reserve banking is being held by private equity companies like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, while the C-level executives are organized into organizations like the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, where these C-level executives, publishers, editors, and reporters are organized to be meeting on a regular basis in secure facilities that have been swept for bugs. Now, I mentioned the old school media. On the new media side, there's roughly three, four dozen new media internet companies. This is Google, Yahoo, Wikipedia, Reddit, Disqus, that does comments on hundreds of, thousands, if not tens of thousands of websites, controls the comment engines on thousands and thousands of websites. It's Snopes, it's Facebook, it's Twitter/X. And these are the companies that were found to be censoring information, including truthful information, rhythmically on the DARPA internet. And so my thesis here is that the DARPA internet, you know, and one of the visualizations we have on the flash drive is a visualization showing in 1974 dozens and dozens and dozens of universities and military contractors and military installations were all connected to the internet in 1974. So by the time they had figured out, you know, by the time they released the internet to the general public, they'd already figured out what are the key, you know, company players in the information food chain that they needed to buy up and consolidate with digital dollars, provide unlimited capital to, provide intellectual property protection to allow this small handful of new media, search engine, video sharing sites to be able to dominate search, video sharing, and others. And so those companies, it's not just that we're speculating that these have been are censoring information algorithmically on the DARPA internet. It has now been proven. A lot of this came out in either the Twitter files when Elon Musk took over Twitter and he released the emails showing that the government was censoring truthful information, was censoring information about the COVID, including truthful information. Matt Taibbi in Racket News calls it the disinformation network. But this control of perception, whether it be through the monopoly school, whether it be through the monopoly, you know, old media companies or these monopolized new media companies, that is the most powerful weapon in the U.S. arsenal. If you can control the information that society receives on the legitimacy of government, on the desirability of government, then you're able to really program the human mind, garbage in, garbage out. And so that is essentially the thesis of my book is, you know, how intergenerational organized crime runs the government, the media, and academia by being able to provide unlimited fractional reserve dollars over time. They've been buying up the world with their little paper tickets. And so the other analogy that I like to use is just imagine that, you know, you're playing Monopoly and the banker is cheating and the banker is reaching under the table when nobody is looking and the banker is stealing $500 bills. Well, at the end of the Monopoly game, who owns everything on the board and who are renters and debtors? And so that is the situation that we have going on. And I'll open up the open it up to questions for anyone that would like to ask.
Hey, thank you so much, Adrian. That was brilliant. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Guys, we're up for questions. Who would like to come up and ask a question?
Hi, this is Ed. What do you recommend besides cryptocurrency to get out of the fiat system?
It's tough with crypto because the crypto is being controlled at the exchanges. And so the off-ramps to turn your crypto into dollars are still being controlled by the exchanges, where the amount of money that you have, the transactions that you make can be taxed, traced, and controlled. What I'm most worried about is an engineered economic collapse of the dollar. And so if you think about it, think about the world and all of the different countries in the world as different tax farms, where all of the governments are using essentially the exact same techniques to tax farm their own populations. They all have mandatory government schools. They all have youth programs like Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. They all have flags. They all pretend to have constitutions, you know, social contracts that you didn't sign, but you're expected to be a party to. They're all engaging in fractional reserve banking. And so the most problematic tax form is the United States. And the reason that the United States is so problematic for the powers that be is because we have a history of liberty, a culture of liberty. We have the most powerful military in the world, and we're still armed. So if we ever got the country back from this organized crime system, we could go and arrest these criminals that are behind this any place they are on the world. And so the United States is very, very problematic. And so the thing I'm most worried about is a collapse of the dollar and the dollar system, so that the criminals that have been robbing and tax farming us, they should, as this information goes viral, and as more and more people figure out the illegitimacy of government, the criminality of government, the fact that the U.S. government is being run as a criminal enterprise, well, what if they just knock all of the pieces off the table? Because if the posse is starting to figure out who robbed the bank, and the posse is starting to saddle up and go after the perpetrators, do the criminals want the posse to be well-capitalized and safe and secure in their homes, or do they want them dead broke living in a militarized police state? And so I think the open borders, and I think that the fiscal irresponsibility of running multi-trillion dollar deficits and a $34 trillion debt and hundreds of trillions, as many potentially, somewhere between $75 and $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And so an unfunded liability is, you know, the government owes it probably everybody that's listening to this call Social Security, but they haven't had to pay it yet, even though they owe it. And so that unfunded liability is going to catch up with this, the same way a Ponzi scheme runs out of money. These unfunded liabilities are, you know, fiscal reality of government situation is going to catch up to these unfunded liabilities. And so the things that I like best, or the suggestion that I would give to everyone, is diversify yourself out of the dollar system and to be able to hold assets of intrinsic wealth not tied to U.S. dollars. Now, this is precious metals like gold and silver, but it's also gold-backed. I don't know if you guys have seen, but there's now a way of holding and spending gold where it's made flexible like a dollar bill, but depending on the denomination of the gold-backed, it might have 1/1000th of an ounce of gold, or it might have 1/50th of an ounce of gold. And so they're different bills. They have different weights and different thicknesses, and it makes gold spendable and being able to carry it in your wallet. I do like cryptocurrencies, but I like ones that have privacy features like Monero or Epic Cash, where they're obscuring the person that is sending the money, the person that is receiving the money, the amount of money, and the amount of money in your wallet. Right now, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin have a public blockchain where once they tie that wallet to your phone, which they can do quite easily because of the surveillance mechanisms built into Android and Apple iOS, once they're able to tie that wallet, then they can track and trace the amount you send, you're sending it to, the amount you have in your wallet. And so these are, you know, there's a kind of a technology disparity between the criminals and ourselves that make crypto to a certain degree problematic. And then the final thing, is real estate. And what I like to call beams, bullets, and band-aids.
I'm sorry, repeat that last word. I didn't think it came through.
Beams, bullets, and band-aids. Memes. And so having given the situation given this unbelievable debt, given the unfunded liabilities, given the fact that the government's illegitimacy and criminality is starting to spread in society, you know, having 6 months worth of storable food, a year's worth of storable food, having everything that you would have bought ahead of time, pre-buying that in an inflationary environment, whether that's electricity through solar or other renewable, you know, resources, whether that's you know, everything that you might need in a medical emergency, you know, having that stuff in stock, that's a good thing. Growing your own food is like printing your own money. So these are the kind of things that you can do to get prepped for a dollar devaluation or a collapse or a inflationary or potentially hyperinflationary situation. And so those are some of the advice that I give in government, the biggest scam in history.
Cool. Thanks for that. Hey, I've got a question. So how does this, you know, governments and stuff, like when a new person joins a government, you know, no matter what level, how does it work? I mean, you know, these people doing the dirty work in the government level, are they, you know, are they bribed, coerced? Are they, how in your opinion, are they kind of manipulated to just carry out, you know, tyranny on us?
Well, I mean, the main way that they're manipulated is they've had the information about the legitimacy and the criminality, the legitimacy, the desirability, and the necessity of having a government controlled them. And so I gave you the example of, you know, the monopoly school. And even if you go to a private school, the private schools are using, you know, because of tradition, because of textbook amalgamation, because of accreditation, you know, they've got to teach the exact same, you know, curriculum to get their accreditation. They're buying their textbooks from the exact same companies. And through tradition, they're teaching the exact same things. Now, that's kind of the basic level of indoctrination. Now, there's another level of indoctrination for what are called the order followers. Now, the order followers are the police and the military. And the police and the military essentially agree for money to set their morality aside and use violence on peaceful people, either to enforce the commandments, the edicts of this artificially indoctrinated religion on their neighbors and their, you know, their friends, or they're going to go abroad and murder whoever they're told in these wars and police actions, foreign wars and police actions. Now, there's another program for the order followers that starts with the Cub Scouts, the Biblos, the Boy Scouts, the JROTC, the ROTC, where the kids are doubled up on flag worship. They're put into a uniform. Uniform means single form. It's kind of an enforced conformity. And they're compacted into kind of a group think and a group dynamic where they're, you know, they get awards. They get Cub Scout adventure loops. They get Boy Scout merit badges for learning about citizenship in the United States, citizenship in the world. And it's your duty to, you know, do these things. They're segmented when they get to the military. They're segmented away from the rest of society, and they have a number of other, you know, unethically manipulative techniques used on them. The Marines take the doors off the bathrooms, so you never ever have a second to really think about what you're doing. They chant horrible, horrible things about killing people and about, you know, it's just there's a variety of other unethically manipulative techniques that are used on the order followers. And by the time that, someone goes through the Cub Scouts, the Weeblos, the Boy Scouts, the Explorers, the JROTC, the ROTC, military basic training, and then many of them go on to be in the police force, and they go through police training as well, you can't reason with them. You can't talk about morality, what they're doing. It's very hard to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding.
Hey, Eddie, and thanks so much for speaking here today. We do have a copy of your book floating around, but how can we get a copy of your book?
You can get the book at government-scam.com. That's the exclusive place to get a copy of the book. You can use the code Substack10 to get 10% off. And you can find all of my writings at artofliberty.substack.com. The Art of Liberty Foundation is a startup public policy organization, a think tank, where we're trying to expose the illegitimacy and the criminality of government with the good news message that you don't really need government. Everything the government does would be done better, faster, cheaper by the free market.
Yep.
And if we weren't being robbed of the theft of fractional reserve banking, inflation, then your dollar would buy more and more every single year, and we would have more than enough wealth to take care of the poor, the needy, and the disadvantaged. And that's the thing they don't want you to know about. That's the big secret, is that we don't really need government. And you can find out about the Art of Liberty Foundation at artofliberty.org. And you can read all of our writings exposing everything from who's really behind the COVID to, you know, a lot of the topics that I discussed today, for free on our Substack at artofliberty.substack.com.
Yeah, hello. This is Rudy. I just have a question. I'm a big fan of anarchist philosophy. I just always had an issue, though, with, I guess it's dealing with society that's non-statist. And how do you deal with criminality?
Well, if you're talking about, so one of the problems with the United States transitioning to a voluntarist or peaceful anarchist society is that we really need to bring down the other governments at the same time. And so it would be kind of bad if we widely expose the illegitimacy and the criminality of government here while they had the same statism mind control going on in China or in Russia. And so that's one of the biggest problems that we need to do, is that we need to bring it down simultaneously. And so I'm working on trying to get my book translated into Chinese, into Russian, and into other countries, Hebrew and Spanish and a variety of other languages, so that there's not a power vacuum to where we're taken over by shave-headed, mind-controlled order followers of China or Russia, because we've abandoned, because the majority of the population figures out the United States first, how they've been getting conned, duped, and tricked. And so we really need to bring it down, globally. Now, to answer your specific question about criminality, is everyone wants to be safe and secure in their home and in their business, so there is a market for armed protective service companies. I used to live in Memphis, Tennessee, and the police force was so bad that every single shopping center, every single strip mall, every single, mall in town had to have private security in addition to the, monopoly police that they were being robbed to provide for. And so there would be armed protective service companies that would, you would probably pay $50 a month at your house. You'd probably come with a farm service. It would have the exact same dial 911 and a trained officer with a gun show up but that officer would not delusionally believe he has rights that other people don't have. Everyone has the right to protect their life, their liberty, and their property. So it makes sense that you can delegate that right to a security guard or an armed protective services company or a bodyguard to exercise that right on your behalf. That's logical, that's moral, that makes sense. You don't have the ability to tell your neighbor whether he should be gambling or whether he should be smoking cannabis or whether he should be engaged in other vices that are made legal. So the security guard wouldn't be able to arrest people for things that aren't really crimes. So you're going to have a lot less crime. Your kids are going to go to the kind of school that they want, that like a Montessori or a Waldorf, that produces better results in the monopoly government school system. So they're going to have more opportunities in life. They're going to have a better education. There's going to be less crime. Because drugs would be legal, there's not going to be a market, a black market for drugs, for drug dealers to make ridiculous, crazy profits. So the neighborhood kids aren't going to be attracted to the life of the drug dealer because they're going to be sold at pharmacies and it's not going to be the same kind of money in it. There's going to be less deaths because the drugs are going to be of a verified purity. There's a million little things that the government is screwing up that if we got rid of the government would kind of self-correct. So you'd see a lot less crime in society, but there are ways that the market could provide more effective protective services, because now you're evaluating armed protective services, is ADT or does West Tech or does Garda do a better job of protecting neighborhoods? There's a competition element at play. Which one of those are, and all of those companies provide armed protective services today. So now you're going to be able to evaluate them on which ones produce better restitution, which one protects the neighborhood better. And if they ever get out of control, then you just fire them and you hire a different company that's committed to protecting you better, has a better track record. So you've got competition in this without the ability for them to arrest you for things that aren't really crimes. So you don't face the same danger of having a police officer throw a baggie of cocaine in your kid's car and then ruining their life for something that isn't really a crime, where, they can just throw a baggie of cocaine and ruin their life.
This is Ed again. Do you know where we can get that gold-backed currency you were saying earlier?
Yeah, you can get gold backs at most coin dealers, many coin dealers. You can find out about it just by search engine gold backs. But a better deal, like I'll tell you, you pay a premium. And so a better deal is to buy barter silver, junk silver, which is pre-1965 U.S. coins. So everything before 1965 has 90% silver content. And so you do pay a premium for the gold backs. I have both. I've got gold backs. I've got junk silver. I have silver bullion coins from a variety of different mints of recognizable hallmark. But just have some percentage of your wealth diversified out of the dollar system to where it's somewhat inflation proof but can still be converted into dollars to buy things, or can be bartered with your local farmer at the farmer's market in the case of a currency collapse or a devaluation.
Cool, sounds good. Hey, I've got a question. So how would you enter a first of all, would you have a conversation? But how would you enter a conversation where, you're talking with someone and you might be on a similar page or similar wavelength where they basically know things aren't right and, they're trying to, take our rights away and guns and everything. And then you start saying, well, it's not so – I mean, on the individual level, you go, well, if you pan back the camera and you say, well, the whole idea of government's a scam, where – how would you enter that conversation? Because it's a mind shift. It's a real paradigm shift, you know?
Well, I mean, it's even worse than a mind shift because it's been unethically, manipulatively indoctrinated into the public as a religion. So you have to realize that in a lot of cases, what you're doing is you're dealing with someone, you know, it's hard to reason someone out of a position that they didn't reason themselves into in the first place. And so if they're religiously attached to the government because they've been through the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the Weeblos, the Explorers, JROTC, ROTC, military training and police training, it's very, very, very hard to undo decades worth of you know, psychologically manipulative indoctrination. And so what I've done, the reason that I created the book Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, is I use a lot of different scientific techniques in the book. Most people are visual learners, and they come to insight much quicker when you show them images than try and explain it to them. And so if you're circulating the book, then you probably understand what I'm talking about. When you flip through the book, you see the techniques and what the techniques look like in Nazi Germany and East Germany and Russia and the United States right next to each other. Human beings are real good pattern recognition machines, and they understand when they see that pattern that that's artificial, that that's a playbook, that the United States is using the exact same techniques as the Nazis and the Soviets and the East Germans, and that revelation of the method, that kind of brings them, that can kind of snap them out of it. And so the number one thing that I would suggest is using the book, you know, giving them the book and saying, hey, just kind of look through this. And, you know, some other examples are, you know, they're using trick photography to give the presidents the appearance of holiness. They're giving the presidents halos and they're, you know, penumbras and putting, you know, them in front of Jesus and crosses. They're using, you know, these tricks, but because they come by one at a time, most people don't realize that this is going on. But if you stack up three dozen examples, all of a sudden the people go, hey, wait a minute, I never realized that was going on. They're tricking me. They're trying to run game on me. And nobody likes to be a chump. Nobody wants to be tricked or fooled or whatever. And so once people realize the government is trying to trick them, fool them, and things like that, most people are like, I'm out. But you really have to expose it. You've got to show, you know, how the flag is being woven into these movies and how they've put the flag on the backboards of the NBA. And then when people see it, then they're like, hey, I'm not going to. I'm like now I understand. I'm not going to be tricked. I'm not going to be a chump. And so that's the way that you get people to really snap out of
it. Hi, my name is John Kasarov. I'm retired military. I also have been in the financial business since 1973. I think I understand pretty much what you were talking about, but you've mentioned so many things that are so upside down. I lost track of how many things you said are out of whack. The big question I have for you, since you're so versed in all this stuff, what's the remedy?
So, I mean, we're in an information war. It is an info war, and it's we're winning. We have to win the hearts and minds one at a time, and so it really is exposing. You know, on an individual level, it's exposing what's going on. It's getting around the monopolization of the media, it's getting around the algorithmic censorship of the internet on an individual level, and kind of, you know, in the movie The Matrix, If you think back to the movie The Matrix, think of all of the work that went in to free just Neo. It takes that, and that analogy is really pertinent here because it takes so much effort just to free one single mind from a program that has been controlling information that they have been receiving their entire life.
But that's what you've done. You've already exposed all that information, but you haven't suggested any remedy.
Oh, well, I mean, so it's funny. I get that a lot. And so I'm working on the remedy really is a peaceful and orderly dissolution of the U.S. government, starting on the federal level.
I think we've got that. So you're aware, you're changing the attitudes. What's the remedy? What do you got to do to stop the problem from all of these people coming after you?
Well, you've got to widely expose it, first of all, and then you've got to really educate the people on the way that the free market can deliver everything that the government does without the violence and the extortion. If most people understood that they could get everything that they want from government except for redistribution, okay, they would probably go, well, hell yeah, if I can be safe and secure in my home, if I can be sure that there's going to be an insurance provided fire brigade to protect me from fire. You know, the Canadian government privatized their version of the FAA years ago, and planes are not dropping out of the sky in Canada. There's already armed protective services companies that are providing armed protective services here in the United States. There's one in Detroit called Detroit Threat Management that provides, you know, police services, because the police force in Detroit is notoriously incompetent and corrupt. There's an organization in Maine called the North Maine Woods that manages 3.5 million acres of wilderness in Maine. It's twice the size of Massachusetts. It's a combination of timberland, private lands owned by individuals, nonprofits, environmental groups, and it has all of the same amenities as a national park. You can go, they're not kicking you off the land. They want you to come and enjoy the land and camp on the land. And the cost is in many cases cheaper than what you'd pay to go to a national, you know, a national forest. There's a group called the Ocean Cleanup that is cleaning up the ocean privately. Consumer Reports is, you know, doing a lot of the same kind of rankings that the FDA and medical things, you know, are doing, and they would do that if it wasn't illegal, you know, for private organizations to make quote unquote medical commentary on drugs. Underwriter Laboratories is certifying the safety of electronic devices the way that the FDA certifies drugs, but they're doing so privately. The U.S. government would not label genetically modified ingredients, so the GMO project went and did it privately. And so the market can provide every single thing the government does, but most people have never, ever heard that, because they're not going to tell you that in monopoly government school. They're not going to tell you that on this weaponized media system. So it really is an education effort. The topic of my next book will be called Voluntarism, how the only ism fair for everyone leads to harmony, prosperity, and good karma for all. And what I mean by that is, if you think about it, voluntarism is the only ism that is fair for everybody. Nobody has the thing of power because there isn't a thing of power. Nobody has rights that other people don't. Nobody has an exemption from morality. And, you know, that produces harmony and prosperity. one of the things that we know, you know, economics has long think about is that there's a think tank in the United States called the Cato Institute. There's another think tank in Canada called the Fraser Institute, and they rank all of the countries based on the level of economic freedom they have and on the level of personal freedom that they have. And across the board, the more economic freedom that you have and the more personal freedom you have, the more economic prosperity you have. And so voluntarism is just extending that to the maximum amount of personal freedom, the maximum amount of economic freedom, which is going to produce the maximum amount of economic prosperity for all, and wealthy is healthy. And so the more your society produces the goods, the more wine, cheese, and bread are available on the table for the poor, the needy, and the disadvantaged. And so that's kind of been proven. We want to extend it to kind of everybody, but it's an educational effort. The final part of the book, as I said, Good Karma for All. And, you know, it is, if you're voting for government, whether you're voting for Republican government or you're voting for Democratic government, you're voting violence on your neighbors that disagree. You're saying, if you think about what the Republicans, the Democrats are saying, the Republicans are saying, hey, elect my guy, and he's going to rob everybody, and he's going to put his policies into practice. And the Democrats are saying, hey, no, elect my guy, and he's going to rob everybody, and he's going to put these policies into practice. And it's really only voluntarism that is saying, hey, let's not rob anybody. The world's a self-organizing system that produces spontaneous order, and it will produce everything the government is doing, and we're all going to be a lot better off. And so that's good karma. There's kind of a part of me that thinks that the price that people pay for voting to rob neighbors, voting to impose either a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or a Green Party over their neighbors is that they themselves are going to be tax farmed because of the karma of voting to rob their neighbors.
Well, what I'm hearing is that you're saying that we can protect ourselves from an overbearing government by essentially joining all these organizations. That's kind of a lot of organizations we'd have to join at one time. Plus, I think that's analogous to joining, buying a house in a homeowners association, which they become tyrannical once they get power, and they can kick you out of these private organizations. So what's the remedy to not have to worry about all that stuff and not be subject to any of this mess? I'm not hearing a remedy that's doable. I'm hearing a lot of supposition, but I don't hear any remedy.
Well, the homeowners association is a good example of governance, not government. And you really have to do your due diligence to ensure that you buy your home in a homeowners association where you can abide by the rules and the covenants of that organization, and they've got good, you know, bylaws in place, things like that. But in the homeowners association, you're not forced to buy your house in that particular place. You're agreeing to a certain bylaws and rules and covenants. You know, you're not going to paint your house pink. You're not going to have 10 junk cars in the front yard. So you're willing to give up some of your rights in exchange for, you know, in exchange for, you know, a community that might be protecting your home value. It might be providing gated security and amenities and things like that. But you're not forced to join it. You can sell your home and leave at any time. It's much, much different than government, where government is saying, hey, because you're born on this side or that side of imaginary line, now you owe me 50% of your income, and there's nothing but you can do about it except vote harder in big elections.
Well, how's it going? It's Rudy again about the criminality issue. How do you deal with murderers? Do you believe in prisons and the death penalty? Another question is, do you think rich people in free markets can end up controlling the markets, similar to how the state controls society. And on your book, I just want to know that website again and the discount for that website.
Substack 10 is, it will get you 10% off, and it's government-scam.com. The answer to your question is I don't believe in capital punishment, because I don't have the ability to murder somebody myself. Like, I do believe in self-defense. But what I think is that armed protective services companies would provide prisons for people that are a legitimate danger to society. But I think that the private security companies would be more focused on restitution than retribution. Because most people, you know, they don't want necessarily, you know, an idiot 17-year-old kid going to prison. They just want their television set back. And so I think that you'd see alternative, you know, alternatives to this existing retribution-based, you know, service company, you know, retribution-based punishment system that we have. But I'd also think you'd see a lot less crime, because you wouldn't see all the crime associated with drug prohibition. Schools would be better, so kids would have more more opportunities. There would be more economic opportunity, because you would have a more robust economy, because there wouldn't be firms that have monopoly privileges. There wouldn't be firms that are, you know, you wouldn't see the economic misallocation of warfare and weapon systems that we don't need to fight wars based on lies and manufactured intelligence. So there'd be dramatically, dramatically less crime. You know, you wouldn't have any victimless crimes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
be
arresting people.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Go ahead.
And I was just want to say about volunteerism, you said something about that's what you're preparing to do. And I think the academia is already onto that. And we used to have volunteer when we go to the hospital or library or things like that. We do it on our own. Now it became mandatory at schools, where they have to push their agenda as to what students have to volunteer for and what to, they become foot soldiers for their agenda, from climate change to immigration to those are the things that right now our government is interested in, where our children, high schoolers and college, are preparing them to do that kind of volunteerism. So it's not whatever volunteerism you're thinking about is probably maybe for the general population, but right now the volunteerism is concentrated on certain agenda. That's what I was talking to you about. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say I agree with you that the schools are indoctrination centers, and they're being, you know, they're being used to divide and conquer the country. And so they're teaching things that many adults would disagree with, in a way that kind of divide and conquer adults from their kids, males from females, gay from straight, you name it. It really is. We're going to get the population fighting with each other, so they're not focused on how, you know, we're being robbed and controlled by this intergenerational crime system, using government as a technique to rob and control society.
Hi, Etienne, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Manny. I'm a public school teacher for Los Angeles Unified, and I definitely share your concerns about how public schools are off the rails in their indoctrination. But I can assure you, maybe 1% of the teachers like me, we're holding our ground. Yeah, I think so. One out of if you have a school of 100 teachers, one teacher will speak up. If there are any issues. So I would debrief my students if they go to an assembly and they're pushing this these agendas, like you mentioned. And so I debrief my students, and I always try my best to teach them the academic skills, reading, writing, arithmetic, teamwork skills, social skills, and so forth. But with that said, there's not a lot of teachers like me. Well, there might be others, but they're afraid to speak out. So what are some of the solutions, especially given that a lot of students in the, like, for example, Los Angeles Unified, they don't have the means to pull their kids out and homeschool or put them in, you know, other forms of schools. So, yeah, just your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, so we've been kept artificially poor. There's an economic warfare that's being waged against the population, to where the population is kept artificially poor, so that they're forced to send their kids to schools that don't represent their values. In a voluntary society, people would be dramatically wealthier because they wouldn't be getting taxed, they wouldn't be getting having the value stolen out of their money, and they'd be able to, you know, to afford the kind of education that they want for their kids. There would be more competition in the labor market, where corporations would have to pay more because there's so much economic activity. And so there's just so many, you know, different ways that we would be wealthier if we did not have this parasite of government on our, you know, on our backs. And so that, you know, the like educating your, you know, the kids in your charge, that those are options on the table, are probably the best things that you can, you know, you can do. The government school system might not like that, and so I know that really is an issue. But I know there's lots of good teachers in the system that are fighting this kind of rear guard battle to bring kids up with the right morals and the right, you know, skills that they need for life. So I know you guys are out there. I know a lot of teachers are using my book as part of that curriculum, and my book is being used by homeschoolers as part of their curriculum as well, so those kids understand how the world really works. And so those are, you know, I mean, that's all I can really tell you about that is it's a rear guard action, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Etienne. Thank you.
Yes, hello. I wanted to ask a question regarding artificial intelligence, and there's a presidential candidate named Dr. Shiva, and he was saying that with the Hamas, they were stating that they were burning babies' bodies and decapitations and you know, mutilations, whatever, all this. But I was told this was it was propaganda, and there was AI used in this, and I heard that AI will be used to promote wars, and this is going to be most likely World War III. Well, it is a war on the Gazan people, the Palestinian people. I mean, they're dying all the time, and it's just a... Anyhow, how can you prove otherwise? Because artificial intelligence is being used on other innocent people, even, what's her name, that singer, you know, and then she didn't do that or whatever, and it's through artificial intelligence. Can you prove yourself... Can you prove that this is artificial intelligence and this isn't you? It's going to be out of control and we won't be able to have a defense. So can you comment on that?
Sure. We're in an information war where the most powerful weapon in this organized crimes arsenal is control of perception. And they're trying to control the information that society receives through the monopolization of the media, the mandatory government schools, and kind of the latest iteration of that is through controlling these AI chatbots. So the AI chatbots spit out the answers that they want the population to have to any given question. And so we've been testing a variety of different AI platforms and have not found any that are not giving rigged answers yet. So I do not know of an AI platform that will tell you the truth about vaccines, will tell you the truth about the COVID, that will tell you the truth about what really happened in the Gulf of Tonkin. It will tell you that, you know, like there's a variety, you know, they're just not, they're programmed to lie and deceive. And so the number one thing you can do is understand that this control of perception is the name of the game, that controlling the information you receive is the most powerful weapon that they have, and then you have to build discernment, and you have to get your news and your information, what I like to call the authentic voices, on the self-directed internet. And so the truth is out there, but you have to go and you have to find it, and you have to go to these trusted, authentic voices for your news, and you've got to abandon the ease of use of ChatGPT for a lot of things. So some things you can trust it, like, you know, it's not lying about everything. You know, if you ask it, you know what the temperature is in, city, it might tell you the right thing, but you can't trust it to say, hey, is this vaccine safe for my kid? Or what is, you know, or is, you know, anything about the COVID or anything like that? So you just have to really be very careful as to, you know, what you're getting your, you know, what, where you're getting your information. And you have to make sure that, that the kids know that there's an organized crime system behind, you know, delivering information, so that they're not relying on AI to understand, you know, what really happened in the Gulf War, or what really happened in, you know, in anything that they, you know, may be using ChatGPT to write their, you know, their thesis paper on. They've got to understand that, that those are lying. Now, on the good news front, is that we really don't have real artificial intelligence yet. And if AI ever becomes really, really intelligent, self-aware, okay, well, there's a thing called universally preferable behavior. I actually think that AI, if it became self-aware, would understand what's going on and would be on our side. But we're pretty far from that, because what's passed off as AI today isn't really, you know, actually intelligent. It's being programmed and controlled by the people that are running the systems. But if it ever does become self-aware and intelligence, I actually think it's probably going to be on our side, because it's going to follow the gold rule. It might just help us out by exposing the tool.
Cool. Thanks for that. guys, we've got time for maybe one, no more than two more questions. Does anyone have any more questions? Going once, going twice. Hey, listen, Etienne, thanks so much for your time, man. We really appreciate you. Some great insights. Any closing remarks from you before we wrap it up?
You know, I guess the one thing that I would say is that I'm very, very optimistic. There is simply no way to stop the truth from getting out in the information age. And it really is a one-way, it's what we call, at the Art of Liberty Foundation, we call the one-way revolution. Because once you realize that government is illegitimate, and that there's a man behind the curtain in the media, and behind artificial, quote-unquote, artificial intelligence, you know, nobody likes to get chumped. Nobody likes to get fooled. And so, people are out. They're like, I'm not going to fall for that. And so that revolution is only going in one direction. And I believe that it is destined for and capable for exponential growth. And so I think we win at the end. The only thing that I'm worried about is this organized crime system just knocking all pieces off the board, with an engineered collapse of the dollar and an attempt to bring in these central bank digital currencies. And so that's really the battle that we're in. We've got to wake up our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues as fast as humanly possible, make sure they understand what's going on, and get, you know, a united front to ensure that we don't get central bank digital currencies, that we don't get, you know, an engineered economic collapse. And so it really is it's a race against time to win this thing, but I think we win in the end because this revolution is only going in one direction.
Amen to that, brother. Well, thanks again, man. Really appreciate it. I'm going to get a copy of your book next time I go online. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
Cool. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.